Welcome to the teaching ministry of pastor, teacher, and healing evangelist, Billy Burke. We're glad you're here today as our pastor continues a two-part series titled, The Transferring of Spirits. This is part two titled, Recognizing and Resisting Transfers in Everyday Life. Now, here's Pastor Billy.
I want to talk to you in this particular teaching about how demon spirits are transferred from person to person, place to people, in our everyday lives. I mean everyday life as you are going about, going to work, going to school, to and from shopping, walking around the neighborhood, vacation, visiting your family. I mean everyday life, so often we don't always seem to be aware of the spirit world that is around us, and how a lot of those spirits are already on and working through people and circumstances to try and get involved in our life and convolute everything, knocking again us out of rhythm and rhyme, keeping us from any momentum, getting the cutting edge away from our destiny and who we're designed to be. The verse that I want to read to you today is found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. Verse 54 and 55, it says this, "And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, what wilt thou we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did?" Notice what Jesus said. "But he turned and he rebuked them, and he said, You know not what manner of spirit you are of." In other words, you don't know what kind of a spirit is passing through you right now. You see, John had misinterpreted Jesus. He was frustrated because the people weren't receiving Jesus the way he thought they should. And so here's John, you know, the beloved John, the wonderful disciple John, and he was, but he was human. He had feet of clay. He went through a transformation as we all are. And so he went from a son of thunder where he could not control who he was, his temper, his aggressive nature, to later on in life where he became John the Beloved. So we see that in the beginning, before a lot of depth and transformation and rooting and grounding and healing and deliverance, before a lot of this stuff takes place in our life, you know, we're really susceptible to these spirits that are all over the world. John said the whole world lies in wickedness, not just Las Vegas or New York or Amsterdam or some part of the country where you deem to be more evil than others. There's no more cultural isolation. It's no longer just in the big cities. It's in every farm town, royal town, evil lurking everywhere. Spirits, so many of them we can't count, you know, and they're here. And they're among us, and they're on people, and it's real, and it's more than personality. It's more than just, you know, people being strong opinionated. It's more than people just being hurt or wounded, or that's the way they are, or that's the way their family is. When are we going to realize that Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers? Paul contended with them, Jesus contended with them, and you and I contend with them. And what I want to talk about in this particular series is that this is everyday life. It's not just whenever, you know, you're in the hospital or an accident or you're facing a particular strong issue in your life. It's simply every day in between here and there, your bedroom and the coffee pot, your coffee pot in the car, your car in the workplace. You know, we get hit. And, you know, we get hit with voices. We get hit with people at the gas station, people at the clothing store, people at the dry cleaners, you know, people over here at the car, everywhere. I mean, it's just amazing how something can just come off. We see a billboard. We hear a radio commercial. You know, we're on our laptop and, you know, something pops up that, you know, isn't supposed to pop up. And the spirits, you know, want to use everything and anything they can. Everything and anything they can in the course of everyday life to take away your peace, your joy, your rhythm, your momentum, you know, your excitement, your expectancy, your enthusiasm, your dream, your vision. These spirits are just horrible. and they are sent to distract you and get you, you know, into overwhelmed state, into depressed state, you know, and get you away from everything that God means for you to be built up, made strong, to be filled in faith. He don't want that. And so when he sees you out here going about and doing everything you can to get to where God has, he sends in, you know, the people that sometimes you least detect who they are. And we read here that here's John, and John was well-meaning. He didn't mean anything bad by this. He just didn't like the way these people were treating Jesus. And he said, hey, Lord, how about, you remember when Elijah called down fire? Why don't you call down fire? Let's call down fire right now. Look at Jesus' response. He didn't say, boy, John, you have a temper problem. He didn't say, boy, John, you know, you really are in the flesh. You know what he said? You don't know what kind of a spirit is moving through you. Somewhere, John picked up a transfer. Somewhere. Somewhere, this spirit was able to pass through him and was trying to get Jesus. It was murder. It was hatred. It wasn't the love that God had. It was so opposite of who Jesus really is. As you and I go into our world, Jesus said, I send you as sheep among wolves. He said, go ye therefore into all the world. Well, you know, most of us are not going to go into all the world, but we are going to go into our world. And there's enough evil in our world. Yeah, your neighborhood, your sphere of influence, in all the places that you go, from work to vacation to visit, your cohabitation, you know, your, you know, habitat. All of that is where your domain is. And in that domain, you are hit with more transfers coming off of people. That's why you walk away and you'll say, boy, that lady had an attitude. Boy, was that man rude. Boy, did you see that guy looking at me? I felt him undressing me as he looked at me. Did you hear what that girl said? I can't believe what they did. All of this, a lot of times, is just thrown in the category of, look at that person. Hear what she said. Look the way he looked. And we fail to recognize that behind a lot of this is a spiritual force that's trying to come through their eyes, their mouth, their touch, their exchange, to get on you, to jump on you and begin to mess with your faith and begin to mess with your dream and to begin to mess with the path that you are on. We have to be made aware. If you're hearing this CD and you hear anything else that I say to you today, the word awareness, that's exactly what Jesus did to John. He didn't, you know, I mean, he didn't say, John, you got to go get prayer. He didn't say, John, I got to get deliverance on you. He just was making John aware. He was trying to teach John the difference between the Holy Spirit and an evil spirit. And so he did that in such a delicate, seamless way. Isn't that the way God works? The Holy Spirit's trying to arise, you know, and raise your level of awareness to spirits that are trying to jump on you. And sometimes, you know, they have jumped on you and they are already on you. And he's trying to say, this one is trying to get to you. This one's already on you. Oh, I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me. Long before spirits get on you, they stalk you. Remember, Saul was stalking David. Jezebel was stalking Elijah. The woman of divination was stalking the apostle Paul. The lion seeketh, roaming, who he may devour. Long before spirits can get on you, they kind of just stalk you. It's something you're ever dealing with. It seems like this thing is always coming up around you. And the Holy Spirit wants to make you aware. Hey, this spirit's trying to get you to gamble. This spirit's trying to transfer and get you to be more worldly, trying to get you into lukewarm, trying to get you into being critical. I mean, these spirits, and they just come off of one person, another person, it comes off the TV, and all of a sudden, it's just on you. And before you know it, you know, it's like, whew, if you don't recognize that you got to hold up that shield of faith and say, you know, I rebuke you. I don't receive you. I'm not opening my door to you. As I said in the previous CD, I'm looking out my peephole in my door, and I don't want critical. I don't want unclean. I don't need any more confusion. I don't want, and I don't want. And you keep that bare on the outside of the cabin. But oftentimes, you know, when we don't heed that and we just don't take the time to recognize and we just refuse to think it could be a spirit, that can't be a spirit coming through her. That's just the way she is. She don't mean to be like that, but she has no one else to talk to. She may be unaware of it, just like John was unaware of it. Remember, Jesus informed John. John wasn't aware of it. He was not even aware of what was passing through him. He didn't want to be hating. He didn't want to really kill anybody, yet it passed through him. A lot of people simply don't know what's coming off of them. So in some forms, they're innocent, you know, to some degree, less or greater degree. But it's the Holy Spirit's job to inform you, enlighten you, that stuff's coming off and through people at you that they themselves don't even know. It's not like they're trying to. It's just who they are and what is on them or in them and coming at you. And he's trying to make you aware. So what? So you can hold up that shield and you can resist that and rebuke that and keep it on the outside. Now, sometimes, we get hit and it does get on us. Sometimes we don't discern it soon enough. Sometimes we don't discern it quick enough. Remember, Eve was perfect, and yet the Spirit got her to do. Her and Adam were in a perfect state. So, you know, even though we're in Christ, even though we love the Lord, we don't want to get out of rhythm and we don't want to break any momentum. And, you know, we do have levels of trust and we do let our guard down. And we are sometimes weary and we're going through stuff and we're more susceptible than other times. And boom, there it hits, you know, and that jumps on you. You know, so oftentimes it's either trying to get to you where you can prevent it by resisting. But other times it's on you. And you're feeling the impact of lust. You're feeling the impact of fear. You're feeling the impact of doubt and unbelief of what you used to be so strongly believing for. And you're thinking, how did this happen? Well, you may not always know where, you know, until you retrace your steps and reconfigure where you were that day. Who was you around? What did you take in with your eyes and your ears? And then you can begin to locate, oh, and when I read that, when I watched that, when I was around those two guys down at the mall there. And then you can begin to recognize that something jumped from them, from it, onto you. And once something is on you, don't panic. It's not the end of the world. It doesn't mean you want it on you. It doesn't mean you've signed up for it. It means it's trying to hit your ride until you kick it out of the bus. Until you say, I don't need any more passengers. I got the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, my family, the people I'm assigned to, and myself. And there's no more room for you. So even though something jumps on you, an infirmity, how many times I pray for people at the altar that are in serious, serious disease. And when I leave a meeting, those spirits will follow me and try and get on me. And I'll say, no, I don't want you. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to get in my mind, into my thinking. You're trying to get on my body. No, I don't want you. I resist you. You know, I'm in Christ. I'm not in you. I live and move in him. I don't live and move in you. I have a bloodline around. Just get out of here in Jesus' name. And see, and I raise up that standard when the flood comes, and then they are on the outside. And that's what we need to do. And if one should ever get in and stick on, and sometimes, like I said, it happens so subtly. Sometimes if you're just in a weakened state, a tired state, and you're around certain people that carry confusion, and all of a sudden you walk away and you think, why am I so confused? I'm not normally confused. Well, then that's whenever you take time out and just say, I renounce this. I don't receive this. And you get strong about it. You get real about it. You know, you don't hunker in and get upset and self-pity and how this happened to me and how did that get on. You don't go get into that. You don't, you're not above being hit. Jesus had marks on him. He got hit and you'll get hit. Paul wasn't above getting hit. He had a messenger buffet him. You're going to get hit. So it's very, very important that you got to quit thinking you're going to go through life and not get any scratches, get any bumps and any bruises. You know, the Bible says it will be nipping at your heels all your life, but you are going to crush his head. Hallelujah. Very, very important that you let the Holy Spirit make you aware. You've got to be open to the Holy Spirit. You really, really do in your everyday life as you go to the department store. You've got to be open to the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit is able to tell you maybe what your own mother can't even tell you, maybe what your own wife or husband can't even tell you. If you're a teenager listening to me, maybe not even what your parents can tell you or your coach. Sometimes, unless it's God talking to us directly, we're just not really good at receiving. But you've got to be open above everybody to the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that can clearly cut through the chase and let you get on guard and say, hey, there is a spirit that's trying to get on you of confusion, of suicide. There's a spirit trying to get on you of fornication, you know, and he's just going to let you know that. And that's not something you have to go and broadcast to everybody. But once you're aware of something, oh my, once you are aware, you become armed. Once you're aware of something is trying to get to you, you become very, very on guard. And that's what you're supposed to be. And not on guard to the point where you're so afraid to go here, afraid to go there. Just on guard to realize that, you know, you aren't made and you aren't wired and you aren't raised up to be occupied by all of these foreign spirits and these passengers of darkness. You're made to be possessed by God, to dream God dreams, to live a God kind of life, you know, to fulfill his plan and purpose for you, and to do it in the time frame he wants. These spirits transferring are trying to just take away your time, trying to get you to lose certain chunks of your life so that you have to spend getting years restored versus just moving down the highway. You've got to let the Holy Spirit make you aware of stuff in the spirit world that's coming through people that's trying to jump on you. And then he's got it. Once you're aware of this, then you can begin to formulate, you know, your strategy, especially if you have to go to work every day, especially if you're working around these people. You can't quit your job. So you've got to find a way to, you know, shield yourself and send a signal back to that spirit. Not interested. No, I'm not going to lie about my taxes. No, I'm not going to sleep with the person I shouldn't sleep with. And no, I'm not going to get into lying and cheating and stealing. Not interested in embezzling money. No, you've got to send that signal, not so much to the person, but to the spirit that's coming through that person. You can talk to the spirit in that person without that person being there. When the person that carries that spirit leaves your room, you're in the office, you can say to that spirit world, I bind you. I bind you, spirit of thievery and dishonesty. And then you say, I loosen the favor of God. I loosen money without sorrow. I loosen the promotion from the Lord. And you begin to address the spirit world away from the person, and you begin to break through that transfer in everyday life. Very, very powerful stuff. You see, because what's happening is, and here's what God wants you to know, the enemy is trying to jump on you from other people with their burdens, their cares, all of their worries, and trying to overwhelm you and get you beyond your measure. Remember, Paul said that we were pressed beyond our measure and we had the sentence of death in ourselves. See, we all have a measure, and that measure is God's giving you grace to handle all the stuff that you're facing and fighting. There's a grace that God's given you. That's why you're able to keep on keeping on. But when you get beyond your measure, there's no grace for that. He's not giving you grace to handle everybody's stuff. He's not giving you grace to handle your whole neighborhood, sometimes even your whole family, sometimes even your whole church, and the United States and the government and Iraq and Iran and South America and the Hmong people and people in Mexico. He ain't giving you. Sometimes you get out there so far and you're beyond your measure and you're taking stuff on, and it's just going to weaken your whole state. Now you're overladen. Now you're pressed beyond measure. What happens? The sentence of death comes on you. And it's not just physical death. Depression's a form of death. Living in depression is a form of death. Hopelessness is a form of death. You know, living a life of total, you know, can't get out of that tailspin of anger. It's a form of death. And so what happens is you have allowed this transfer to come over from them onto you, and you're not given the grace for it. There's stuff that comes off of them onto you, and you're just going to say, nope, not receiving that, and give it to the Lord. That's not my fight. You and I are not called to everybody's fight. We're not called to carry everybody's stuff. You know, you've got to know the stuff you're called to carry and say, thank you for the grace to carry that. But then the enemy wants to come in through somebody and adds more stuff on there. Then he wants to add worry. Then he wants to add remorse. Then he wants to throw in a little regret. Then he wants to remind you how imperfect you are. You know, and then he wants to send this. And all of a sudden, pretty before you know it, I mean, you are so weighed down, you can't even hardly move. You can't even hardly think. You don't feel like singing because you can't hear the music. You don't want to go to Bible study because you're too tired. Because what? When you're overwhelmed, it takes the energy right out of you. You have got to say no, thank you. You've got to let the Holy Ghost know, let you know, make you aware that you can only carry so much. And the part that you carry, you only carry it from your arms into his arms. And you release. You catch and you release. You catch the burden, release the burden. You catch the problem of that person and you release it. You catch their fear and you release it. That's what you're supposed to do. None of us were made to be burden bearers. That's why we have Jesus. He bears all of our burden, all of our sickness, all of our weakness. That's why we go to him. And these spirits, I'm telling you, they just want to add. And then, you know, sometimes it's not even so much that they want to put on you. They want, here you are trying to handle your family. You're trying to handle your own issues. And out of nowhere, they just transfer, you know, blame. They want to transfer guilt. And you have to be so aware that you don't want to take any more on than what you're already carrying. You don't want to be pressed beyond your own measure. Why? Because you see, in this everyday life that we live, I mean, we get dirty. We get soiled. That's what the foot washing ceremony was all about. When Jesus was washing the feet of his disciples, he came to Peter and Peter said, no, I don't want my feet washed. You know, and Jesus said, well, if you don't let me wash your feet, he said, then, you know, you have no part in me. Then Peter said, oh, Lord, wash me all over. And what did Jesus say? Peter, you don't need washed all over. Only your feet need washed. Once you're born again, you know, you don't got to keep getting saved over and over again. But your feet do get dirty living, working, walking in this world. And you have to come through a particular cleansing, a regular cleansing. Because every day you walk in the world, wherever you go, you pick stuff up. You just pick it up. It's just there to pick up. You know, a brain surgeon or any kind of a surgeon, because of what they do, they need regular cleansing. They're scrubbing their hands after surgery. It's a regular part of their occupation. Same with the mechanic, same with an athlete, same with most any profession. You know, there's a particular cleansing that takes place as a part of that profession that keeps the germs and the bacteria and the virus away from them. And so it is whenever you're walking in the Spirit. It is the same thing when you're walking in everyday life. You know, this stuff is trying to jump on you and transfer onto you. And you have your issues, and now you have their issues, and now you have that issue, and you were dealing okay with this, and now you're dealing with the past, and whoa. How do you avoid that? You walk in the Spirit, and you have a daily cleansing. And there's a washing of the water of the Word. There's a cleansing power of the blood. There's the refiner's fire. You know, I mean, there is just walking in the light as he's in the light. There's so much that is needed to be done in this area of regular cleansing. And it's not to be hard. It's not to be difficult. But you are to know that every day that you live in this world, you pick stuff up. You just pick it up. You can't go too awful far. And sometimes you pick it up right in church. Sometimes you pick it up right off of television, even Christian television. Because we people aren't perfect. You know, and people have edges and people carry stuff, you know, and there you are, and it's just transferred over onto you, or it's trying to get to you. And how do you avoid this taking root in you? Daily cleansing. Just put your hands up every day and say, I just plead the blood of Jesus. I cover myself with the blood of Jesus. Just, you know, read a couple Bible verses, or you don't have to read them. Just quote them to yourself. Let the water of the word run down through you. Just say, I receive cleansing. I receive the promises. They're yes and amen. You know, and you don't let, you know, a day go by where you don't have a cleansing. Just like you don't let a day go by where you don't wash your hands or bathe or take a shower. You know, practice personal hygiene. Same is true with your spiritual walk with God. That's how you handle all these transfers. You know, and sometimes, I mean, when I'm in a service or a crusade and I know I've been in and around people that are drug-oriented or alcohol-oriented, or there's a lot of deliverance taking place, when I go back to my hotel room or on my way on the plane, I'll go through my own little ritual. I'll say, I cleanse myself. I shake it off. You're not going home with me. You're not welcome in my life. I'm not picking up any hitchhikers. You know, I got the ring of fire, the blood of Jesus. And I'll just go through all of that. And just so that, and my peace then tells me, you're okay. You're clean. You're clean. There's nowhere for them to hang on you. Because when you start saying blood and the name of Jesus, it's still is the most powerful name that you can utter. It still causes spirits to shudder, even think about getting on top of you whenever they hear that name, whenever they hear that blood, whenever they hear, you know, the ring of fire, the Holy Ghost, whenever they hear things like that. They know you're informed. They know you're not an ignoramus. They know you're not a cloud without rain and a well without water. They know that you've been to the upper room. They know that you've seen some stuff. They know that you've felt the fire of God, the Holy Ghost, go through you. And when you begin to send that kind of signal and you walk in a daily cleanse like that, I'm telling you right now, even though they may be stalking you, they stop stalking you. Even though they jump on you, guess what? They jump off of you. It's because you have substance. You practice what you have heard most of your life. You go through a cleansing. You go through a cleansing. You are in the washing. Oh, I can't say this enough. I can't say it enough. It's so powerful. And that's what Jesus said to Peter. Peter, you don't have to get a whole bath. You're already born again. But your feet do get dirty. Let's wash your feet. So as we all walk into our own world, wherever that may be, whatever we may do, you're going to pick up dirt. You're going to pick up stuff. You know, and sometimes, you know, we just make the mistake of not going through any kind of a cleanse, and we take it home. And all of a sudden, when we walk in that front door, that's a portal to your house. And, you know, you let it turn loose in the whole house. All of a sudden, you know, you bring home what you picked up at work. Then it affects the whole dinner. Your kids bring home what they picked up at school, and it affects the whole evening. So you want to be really, really on guard, and you want the Holy Ghost to make you aware, like he made John aware. John, you don't know what kind of a spirit's passing through you. The Holy Ghost has a way of making you aware of that. You know, each of us, I tell people, you should learn your own body. You know, there's certain pains and aches that we all have, and you kind of know what that is, and it's nothing alarming. It's just something that's there, and you're putting faith to it, but nothing that you want to run to the emergency room over. You kind of know that's the knee that you hurt in football, and you're applying faith, and it's getting better over time. You know, you kind of know this elbow over here, that's your tennis elbow, and you did that with playing tennis, and yeah, that's getting better over time. But it's whenever that one pain shows up, what's that? Never had that. And you become aware of your own body functions and symptoms. And you know when something is different and out of place. Same with the noises in your house. You know, in our house, you know, we live in a pretty nice home. We're grateful for what God's blessed us with. And we have a huge fish tank, about 170-gallon fish tank, an aquarium, tropical aquarium. You know, and this thing makes noise. And you'll be laying in bed at night, and it's funny how you, or it's interesting how you learn the noises of, you know, bubbling water. And then whenever the pump shuts off and shuts on, you know, you're aware, well, nobody's breaking in. You're aware that's not something bad that's happening place. You say, that's the fish tank. See, we have this domain in our life, and we're supposed to know whenever a spirit is jumping off of somebody onto us, there's an alarm that goes off. You know, there's something that says, that's not right, that's not good, that's not clean, that's not what I'm rooted and grounded in. You know, that's confusion, that's anger. Oh, that's bitter. And your detector goes off. Now, you don't just disown people, but you are aware. You're so aware. And in the spirit, you put that guard up and you say, not getting in here. And you love the person and talk to the person. But when you leave that person's company or you walk away from that movie, sometimes they want to jump off the movie screen and follow you home. And that's whenever you say, no, you're back there. You're not going home with me. That's whenever they try and jump off that person and say, nah, you're not going home, because you are aware. You can't live isolated. You know, we're called to blend in. Salt goes into its product. When you put salt into the meat, it disappears, and it goes on the inside and works from the inside out. We're called to, you know, go into the world, be in the workaday places. We're called to work in every field and art of life. You know, we're in the media, we're in the entertainment, we're in the sports, we're in the factories, you know. We're in the retail, we're in the sales. I mean, we're not to hide. You know, we're not to be afraid, oh, I can't go there, I'll pick something up. No, no, rather the opposite is true. Remember how Jesus walked. When he walked, he was so in tune to that his surroundings that he put the spirits on edge. He got them concerned that he was going to put his righteousness on them. They weren't going to put his evil on them. They were going to get what he had. He wasn't going to pick up what they had. And you can reverse the curse. Did you hear what I'm saying? You can get so into this where you get so aware of transfers and you get so aware of personal cleansing on a regular basis. You know, you get so in tune as the path that God has you on. You can begin to just send a signal. You know, even before you go to work, even before you go to the mall, I mean, you can begin to put spirits that would want to stalk you on edge. Remember what the demon said to Jesus? What would you have to do with us? Why are you tormenting us? And Jesus just said, I suffer you not to speak. When he would just walk, I mean, he just caused more disruption than you can imagine. Why? It's because he carried the anointing. He carried the glory. You know, he was clean. He was walking through this life, and he caused ripples and waves around him. He put those, and you know what? That's what you can do. That's what I can do. Together, we can reverse the curse. You don't have to be afraid. You know, Joshua said, everywhere your feet go, take that ground. Everywhere your shadow falls, it can change the conditions of everybody in and near your shadow. But you got to get taken this serious. You got to stay in faith. You got to stay filled. You got to take serious, you know, the words and the scriptures and the prophecies that's been given to you. And you've got to make sure that you are really exercising your authority. You can have a badge, you can have a gun and never pull it. You know, you can have a fire extinguisher and never, ever use it. You know, I mean, it's very, very important. A lot of people have guns they don't even know how to use. A lot of people have fire extinguishers. They don't know how to activate it. Your authority isn't just something you have. It's something that you are to be actively using. In the name of Jesus, get off me. By the blood of Jesus, stay away from me. Get off of my children. Stay out of my house. Get off of my business. Get off of my body. Get out of my mind. I mean, it's activating that. And the more you do that, and the more you see God back you up. What did Jesus say? He said, whatever you bind, I'll bind. Whatever you loose, I'll loose. He said, you do it, and I'll back you up. He didn't say I'd do it. Meaning him, Jesus. No, he said, you bind, I'll bind. You loose, I'll loose. He's waiting for you. Listen to me, my precious one. He's waiting for you to take a proactive part in your everyday life. You know, just, man, today, I ask you to order my steps. I plead the blood of Jesus. Increase my coast, you know, keep me from evil. You know, and if you're aware of certain things that are at the workplace or at the mall or at the beach or at vacation or going over to your family's house, if you're aware of certain things, address them in the spirit world. Let them know that you're on the way there. Let them know that you're coming in the name of Jesus. You're filled with fire and filled with the word of God. And you can begin to reverse the curse where they don't want to come on you. They don't want to get on a hot Holy Ghost Christian that is really on fire for God. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, this is what you do as you interact with transfer of spirits in everyday life. Because the other passive way don't work. The other passive way don't work, where you just go to work and you think you have trouble with people at work. And you have trouble with people over here. You know, and the guy down there is looking at you, and the woman over there is doing that, and pretty soon, you know, people are weird. There are people, crazy people everywhere. There's people that are being used by spirits to break down other people. That's what's taking place. We're fighting powers. That's why Paul said, our battle's not with flesh and blood. You can keep the transfer from getting to you. You can get so sensitive where you know it's trying to jump on you, and you just put your hand up and say, nope, don't want you. Don't want you. Nope, nope, nope. Or if something does slip through, because sometimes it does. Let's be honest. Sometimes it does slip through. It happens to the best. Like I said, John was a tough disciple. He was close to Jesus, but it happened to him. The transfer happened to Aaron. Transfer happened to a lot of great people. It happened to a lot of great people. And if you don't recognize it, it can stay for months and turn into something worse than just on you. It can get in you. You don't want something to go from on to in. You want to keep it from going on to in. You want to get it off. Not on to in. You want from on to off. And the way you get on to off is deal with it before the sun goes down. Each time the sun goes down, you know, the chances of that thing burrowing into you gets greater and greater. You aren't made to carry the transfers of other people. You aren't made to hide and say, I'm afraid to go to work. Everybody out there is evil. Nobody's fair. They're all liars. They're all cheaters. I work with a bunch of people thus and so. You know, you're called to get filled in faith and to go where God has you for whatever season he has you. And you're called to walk in and overcome that land. You're called to go in there and do your job or do your visitation or go to that dinner or go to that function, whatever it may be. And you're called to show that the greater one in you is really the greater one. You're not going to get the sickness. You're not going to get the suicide. You're not going to get the depression. And you're not going to get the lust. And you're not going to get moved outside your measure. Nah, you're going to show that you're able to what? Shake it off. You're able to hold up the standard and keep it out. And because you're able to do that, God's going to get the glory. And you're going to begin to learn how to have overcoming faith in everyday life. That's where the battle is. It's not in, you know, it's not when you go to church. It's not when you, it's when everyday life, facing the throes and the woes of your physical challenges, your financial challenges, your emotional challenges, the challenges of your immediate family and the people that you've been assigned to. Everything around you, the enemy is trying to get you off your game because he knows that God has plans and a high purpose for you. I'm here today telling you that transfers in everyday life, they're real, they're raw. And if they're not, if you're not made aware of it, and you just begin to think that's people, then you're going to let something take place that's going to impact you greater and longer than you could ever imagine. Oh, Holy Spirit, I pray the person listening to this CD today would just be enlightened and made aware that just like John, sometimes we don't know what spirit's gotten in, what spirit's around, what spirit is stalking, what spirit's is trying to break into our lives and break up our lives. Give each person hearing my voice X-ray vision. Give them discernment beyond their years. And God, I pray above all, oh, above everything, that you would show us how to either rebuke it away or renounce it and break its power so that it leaves our life, so we can be filled with the Spirit, walk in faith, and fulfill the dream you've given each of us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
For more information about this and other teachings by Pastor Billy, please call 1-888, the number 7, and the word HEALED. Or in the Tampa area, call 813-287-2116. The mailing address is Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. That's Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. Or you can look us up on the web at www.billyburke.org.